CBS News. Congress will be holding hearings when it returns to try to find out if there really is an energy shortage. I'm Stephanie Shelton reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The first hearings will begin next Wednesday and will be held by the House Small Business Committee. When Congress officially reconvenes on January 21st, Senator Henry Jackson's Investigations Subcommittee will resume its look at the energy shortage, and Jackson says the senators will question representatives of the seven largest oil companies under oath about the extent of their oil stocks. Meanwhile, the Shell Oil Company followed Texaco's lead and voluntarily disclosed its oil assets. The figures showed crude oil stocks up about 3.5% from last year on January 1st. Stocks of gasoline and home heating oil were also somewhat higher than a year ago. More on the oil shortage after this.
George?
Yeah?
Premium has this terrific January white sale.
White sale?
Mm-hmm.
I thought Premium was a saltine cracker.
Oh, Premium just calls it a white sale.
Oh, I've got it. Because you eat crackers in bed.
Ho, ho, ho. Right on the pound box of Premium saltines are coupons worth a total of 45 cents.
45 cents worth of coupons?
Yes.
That's a good sale.
That's a great sale. There's a 7-cent coupon you can use to buy Escort crackers.
Yeah.
A 7-cent coupon for Chips Ahoy cookies.
Oh, I like those.
Mm-hmm. A 7-cent coupon for cinnamon treats.
Mm.
A 10-cent coupon for Smack Made cheese spread. I love that.
Good.
And a 14-cent coupon on Sankaban decaffeinated coffee.
45 cents worth of coupon.
And they're right on the Premium saltine box.
Hey, honey, you know what?
What?
The Premium January white sale must be the first white sale you can eat.
You can eat. Yes, yeah. I know, George.
Look for the Premium January white sale from Nabisco at your grocer's now. Offer void where prohibited by law.
The Justice Department charged five more service stations with price gouging today, warning station owners that any new gimmick-type customer charges will be considered illegal price increases. In Washington, the Labor Department reported that as many as 100,000 Americans may have lost their jobs in the week of December 9th through the 15th because of the oil shortage. About half of the layoffs were service station and car dealer employees. The Agriculture Department reported on Friday that Moscow has agreed to a delay in delivery of more than 18 million bushels, that is, of American wheat until after next summer's harvest. The chairman of the American Bakers Association, Bill Mead, proclaimed himself delighted at the news. Earlier this week, he predicted that bread could soon cost a dollar a loaf because of possible wheat shortages. Agriculture Secretary Earl Butch says Mead's warning is preposterous, and Roger Fleming of the American Farm Bureau Federation apparently agrees.
It represents a scare tactic on the part of one segment of American industry, namely the bakers of this country. One of the interesting things that I'd like to see asked of the bakers, if they were concerned about the rising price of wheat, why didn't they contract for their supplies with the farmers of this country during the recent marketing season, when they could have ensured that there'd be no increase in the price of the raw product going into bread?
Roger Fleming. An Argentine terrorist group claims it's been paid a record $10 million ransom by the Exxon Corporation for the release of one of its executives who was kidnapped December 6th. Ernest McCrary reports from Buenos Aires.
In a printed letter delivered to Buenos Aires newspapers, the People's Revolutionary Army says the $10 million will be paid in food, clothes, tools, and medicine for the poor. Presumably, the kidnapped manager, Victor Samuelson, will soon be released. The letter from the terrorists charges the oil company with unfairly exploiting its workers and reaffirms that violence is the only weapon to use against such imperialistic firms. This is Ernest McCrary for CBS News in Buenos Aires.
Secretary of State Henry Kissinger and Egyptian President Anwar Sadat met for 90 minutes on the troop disengagement issue right after Kissinger landed in Aswan, Egypt. They'll talk some more in the morning, and Kissinger will fly to Tel Aviv to tell Israeli Premier Golda Meir what he's learned. The FBI says 134 law enforcement officers were killed in the line of duty during 1973. More news after this.
There was a time when people thought there really was a fountain of youth, and that it was possible to turn iron into gold, the thing some people used to believe. Even today, there are people who still think all aspirin is alike, but the fact is, all aspirin is not alike. Bayer tested its aspirin against every leading brand. The test showed, for quality, Bayer is superior. Remember, as with all medicines, read and follow label directions carefully. When you get a headache, get Bayer, the better quality aspirin.
Take the time to listen. Take the time to care.
Hey, Dad, Mrs. T says really listening to other people shows you care about them. Dad?
If you're too busy to listen to your children, you're too busy.
When you really listen, love is what you find.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
The Dutch have now joined the Swedes in contending with gasoline rationing. Holland is giving its motorists 3.3 gallons of gas a week per car. One small bonus, the Dutch can use all their ration for Sunday pleasure driving if they wish, and they haven't been able to do that since November 4th. Stephanie Shelton, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The time now, 6 minutes past 10. Mystery Theater from CBS is next. The weather outlook calls for increasing cloudiness with periods of snow beginning late tonight. Occasional snow probably changing to rain or mixed rain and snow tomorrow afternoon and continuing through Sunday. We can expect a slight warming trend with highs tomorrow in the upper 30s, the lower 40s on Sunday. Lows tonight in the upper 20s, tomorrow night in the mid 30s. Winds will be mostly northeasterly, 10 to 20 miles per hour. Currently in downtown Seattle, a temperature of 34 degrees. Wind out of the north at 3 miles per hour. The barometer is falling. It reads 29.84. At the airport, it's 31 degrees. KIXI time, now 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the sound of suspense. To the fear you can hear. A psychiatrist once said that the human brain is like a spider's web. Together, all the strands are strong, but taken one by one, each can easily be broken and the web destroyed. There are countless cases of human brains broken and smashed in just this way, step by step, strand by strand. And I can't help wondering, is this what happened to young Jennifer Brady?
Please, officer, I'm not out of my mind.
I didn't say you were.
No, but everybody else does, and I'm not. I'm not.
I don't mean you're off crazy because you had a bad dream.
It was no dream. It happened. I tell you, it happened.
No, ma'am, it didn't. You see, it couldn't have. A thing like that to happen. Impossible.
Our mystery drama, Honeymoon with Death, was written especially for the Radio Mystery Theater by George Lother and stars Lois Nettleton. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
When you say Bud,
why do some people think Bud is sort of special? Go ahead and find out why. With a Bud. Or maybe with the Budweiser label. Without making a big deal of it, the label just sort of lays it on the line. It lists ingredients and comes right out and tells you, too, very simply, how the Budweiser people feel about the beer they brew. And that sort of adds up to this, that brewing beer right does make a difference. Okay?
When you say Bud,
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
We hope you're enjoying our new CBS Mystery Theater. It's another addition to our KIXI programming we're very proud of. We've made quite a few additions in the past year. For instance, we've added 1,000 people to our news team. People like Walter Cronkite, Dan Rather, Win Elliott, Douglas Edwards, Mike Wallace. Just six of the more than 1,000 CBS reporters who help make KIXI Seattle's number one news service. And in the morning, we provide the only 90-minute news service in the area, 7 to 8:30 each morning, Monday through Friday. The complete CBS news team, plus Seattle's best local coverage and up-to-the-second traffic reports. This is Dean Smith. Join me and Bob Little, Ken Stewart, Clarence McDaniels, Norm Barbro, Gary Jeanette, plus Chet Huntley, Charles Osgood, and the CBS News team for Seattle's best news coverage. 90 minutes of news each day, Monday through Friday, 7 to 8:30 a.m. here on KIXI 91 a.m., 96 FM, where the listeners are.
Makes Jennifer Brady think she's going out of her mind. What strange thing happened that couldn't have happened? Perhaps we can find out together.
It was a wonderful honeymoon, Howard. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed it. Adored it. But you know something? Howard, you know something?
What, Jennifer, what?
It's wonderful to be back home. These last 10 days, driving back from San Francisco, I kept thinking, when, oh, when will I be back in my own bedroom, in my own bed, in my own little old New York brownstone house? Oh, I shouldn't have said that, should I?
What? Said what, Jennifer?
Am I bothering you with all my chatter, Howard?
Bothering me? How could you possibly bother me, sweetheart? I'm just trying to catch up with all that mail Margaret left on the living room table. Oh, hey. I haven't seen that negligee before.
I saved it for a homecoming night. Like? I can see a whole month of honeymooning hasn't changed you a bit.
When I've got a bride as beautiful and sexy as you, our whole life is going to be a honeymoon. Now, tell me, what was it you shouldn't have said?
What? Oh, I've forgotten.
Something about your own little old New York brownstone house.
Oh, well, what I meant... It's not just mine anymore. It's yours now, too.
And your sister Maggie's. You both inherited this old brownstone from your father. Though, I must say, I think that you, I mean, we, have the better of the bargain.
What do you mean?
I much prefer this top floor apartment, don't you?
Oh, yes. Luckily, Maggie always preferred the downstairs part. No climbing stairs.
Well, stairs won't bother me. I'll take them 2, 3 at a time, knowing that you're waiting at the top of them.
Oh, darling.
Well, you better finish brushing your hair. I'll finish that mail in the living room.
Howard?
Yes?
About the car.
What about it?
You think it's safe parked out in the street?
One night won't hurt.
I'd feel awful if anything happened to it. You know, sometimes on our honeymoon trip, I couldn't help wondering which you loved more, your new car or me. Oh, well, I guess one night in the street is safe enough. You can find a garage tomorrow. Howard? You locked the car. You have the keys, haven't you? Howard? Howard, can't you hear me? I asked you... Howard! Oh, my God! Maggie! Maggie, oh, my God! Maggie, come up here! Howard's been murdered! Maggie, Howard's dead! He's got a knife sticking out of his chest and blood! Maggie! Maggie, where are you?
Couch and try to hold on. I'll phone Dr. Sullivan.
Maggie! Howard, is dead. He's up there in our apartment. Dead.
Jennifer, please, now try to control yourself. There's no one named Howard here.
What do you mean? No one named Howard? You know Howard Lansing, my husband, the man I've been on a honeymoon with for a whole month and home just a few hours ago, and stop looking at me like that.
All right. Now, look, Jennifer, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll go upstairs, and I'll see if anybody's there.
Howard's there.
All right. If this Howard is there, and if he's dead, then I'll phone the police.
All right?
Yes. But if he isn't, then I'm going to phone Dr. Sullivan, have him come right over. Now, that agreed?
What's that?
That's just the front door bell, Jennifer. Oh, yes, officer?
Officer Helmets, ma'am. Ed Helmets. Anything wrong?
No.
What do you mean, no? My husband's been murdered. He's upstairs dead, a knife in his chest.
Jennifer, please. Officer, there is no one upstairs, dead or alive.
Well, then what was all the screaming about? I'm walking the beat just up at the corner, and I hear all this screaming.
It's nothing. Believe me, it's nothing.
Officer, will you do me a favor?
Oh, sure, if I can.
Would you go upstairs, please? And see for yourself?
Officer, my sister is a highly emotional woman.
Please? Would you please?
Sure. Make you feel any better? Sure.
Jen, what am I going to do with you? You know what Dr. Sullivan said.
Dr. Sullivan?
He said if you had another one of these attacks, you were going to have to be...
I am not having an attack. I am as sane as you are. Don't look at me like that, Maggie. I am. Well, officer?
Well, there's nobody up there, ma'am.
Nobody. But there is somebody. My husband, Howard. He's sitting in a chair with a knife in his chest, blood all over.
No, ma'am.
But that's impossible. Impossible, I tell you. It's impossible. I couldn't.
Maybe you want to see for yourself, huh? I'll go up with
Officer,
you.
Officer, thank you very much, but there's no need.
I do want to see for myself, will you?
Sure.
I'll come with you. No, on second thought, what's the use? I mean, I'm really very tired of this sort of thing.
What sort of thing?
Never mind, officer. Just, you go ahead.
Now, is this the room where you, thought that, Huh?
I can't believe it. It's impossible.
You can see for yourself.
Five minutes ago, I tell you. In this chair. He was sitting back in this chair, and there was a knife sticking out of his chest. The mail was scattered all over the floor.
Mail?
We'd just come back from our honeymoon. We'd only been in the house a few hours. And Maggie had left all the mail that had collected for a month on the table, on this table.
Well, you can see, ma'am, no mail.
And blood. There was blood on the carpet, some in the mail.
Well, no mail, no blood. You don't mind me saying so. I think you... Well, maybe you had a dream, a nightmare, huh?
Please. I'm not out of my mind.
I didn't say you were.
No, but everybody else does, and I'm not.
It don't mean you're off your, out of your mind because you had a bad dream.
It was no dream. It happened. I tell you, it happened. Howard was here in the living room reading the mail. I was talking to him from the bedroom. I had just taken a bath, and I was brushing my hair, and... Wait. I know. I hadn't emptied the tub. The water's still there. It must be. I'll show you. I don't understand it.
Tub's bone dry, ma'am. Hasn't been used. Now, not tonight, anyway.
His clothes. Howard's clothes. He'd empty his suitcases and put his clothes in the closet. His suitcases, too.
Just ladies' clothes. Yours, ma'am?
Yes.
Don't cry. Hey, look, this dream you had.
It was no dream.
Okay, so maybe you imagined...
I didn't imagine anything. Do you imagine a husband You imagine a month-long honeymoon. You imagine a man in a chair with a knife in his chest.
I got to admit, you'd have to have a darn strong imagination to... But they tell me that's what artists got.
Artists?
Oh, you are an artist, aren't you? That painting there on the easel?
Oh, that's just a hobby. I haven't touched that since I left on my honeymoon.
No?
What do you mean?
How long does it take paint to dry?
Oh, a day, thereabouts.
Well, this paint's still wet. Plenty wet. Look at my finger. Oh, now, don't start crying again. A woman crying, it makes me feel awful.
I'm sorry.
Look, whether you dreamed it or imagined it...
I didn't.
Yeah, well...
I know I've had spells.
Spells? What kind of spells?
Oh, I've always been high-strung, nervous, you know?
Well, I don't know if I know. I mean, I'm the other way. I haven't got a nerve in my whole body.
I envy you. You've never been to a psychiatrist.
A shrink? No, me. You ask me, anybody who goes to a shrink ought to have his head examined. That's a joke. You get it?
Yes.
Well, then laugh a little bit. Come on, do you good.
I can't.
No, of course you can't. I'm sorry. I should have known better than to even try and make a joke. You go to a psychiatrist, huh?
Yes. Not regularly. Sometimes.
What times?
Oh, when I sort of get all keyed up and start having crying spells and feeling so sad... So sad I could die.
Well, what's to feel sad about? Chick like... I mean, excuse me. A pretty girl like you with everything in life to live for. What's to be sad?
I don't know. Some people feel sad for no reason at all. They just suffer from depressions. Oh, excuse me?
Yes, ma'am?
Jennifer, Dr. Sullivan is on his way over. I just phoned him.
All right.
And, officer, thank you very much for trying to help.
Not at all, ma'am. Not at all. Glad to do what I could.
I'll show you out.
Oh, that's okay.
No. All right, I'll come with you. I'll be just a minute, Jen. Officer, I wanted to ask you. You don't have to say anything about this, do you? I mean, put it in your report or anything.
Oh, no. There's been no damage or anything like that. Does she get this way often, your sister?
Well, often enough. She hallucinates, you see.
Come again?
Hallucinates. It means, well, just what you saw. She was totally convinced there was a murdered man up there. Her husband, no less. Well, you saw for yourself. Husband. Jennifer's never even had a boyfriend.
A cute doll? I mean, a pretty girl like that?
Well, it's all part of her condition. She's afraid of people, men especially. I wish she could become less afraid, more outgoing. If these spells of hers get any worse, she may lose her mind altogether.
Oh, say, I hope not. A sweet kid like that, I sure hope not.
I know, so do I. Well, looks like we've had a little shower. Street's wet.
It was drizzling a little when I came in. Well, good night, ma'am, and if you need...
Wait! The car! The car!
What car?
Howard's. The little red sports car he was so fond of. It isn't there. But it was. I know it was.
Officer, thanks again, and good night.
Good night, ladies.
Jen, dear, until Dr. Sullivan gets here, I think you should lie down and rest.
I don't want to lie down.
Well, then just stretch out on the couch, and I'll make some tea for us. Well, it's probably Dr. Sullivan now. Oh. Yes?
Excuse me, ma'am. I just wanted to get something straight.
Yes.
Your sister, did she say... Oh, ma'am.
Yes, officer.
Did you say that car was a little sports car?
Yes. Why?
Well, nothing, only there was one parked out there in the street.
What do you mean?
Oh, we've had a shower, see, and I happen to notice the street's dry in one spot.
There must have been a car standing there while it was raining. A small car.
Officer, please don't make things worse for me or for my sister. I mean, there's nothing unusual about a car being parked in the street.
No, only...
Good night, officer.
Funny, though. Funny.
What exactly is it that strikes Officer Helmut as funny? Perhaps we'll know when I return shortly with Act Two.
And now another tale of the ball and chain. At Kellogg's Special K presents
the good, the bad, and the heavy.
Why is that cowboy wearing a ball and chain?
Because carrying around extra pounds can be just like carrying around a ball and chain.
How symbolic.
Well, it is, senor.
Give me the Special K breakfast.
Here you go. Ball Special K, it's the milk, orange juice, and coffee.
Ah.
Say, don't I know you from someplace?
You probably don't recognize me with my ball and chain. I used to be 10 pounds lighter, but I'm getting back that way by exercising and eating smart at every meal. Starting with this here Special K breakfast.
What's so special?
It's less than 240 calories, 99% fat-free, and delicious. It's going to help me get rid of this here ball and chain.
I bet your horse will be glad to hear that.
Another ball and chain bites like dust.
Your happy ending could begin with the Kellogg's Special K breakfast.
That's Kellogg's Special K.
That's right.
Good night.
We wish to thank the many listeners who have called and written KIXI, complimenting us on the new CBS Mystery Theater, aired nightly on KIXI at 10.07 p.m. However, we have received many calls requesting the program be aired on KIXI FM every night instead of Sundays only. One of the reasons cited is the problem many of our listeners have in receiving KIXI clearly over their AM radio because of various signal difficulties. In an effort to eliminate these signal problems, KIXI has applied for an increase in power to 50,000 watts. We need your help. If you can't sufficiently hear us, please write KIXI, 801 Pine Street, Seattle 98101. That's KIXI, 801 Pine Street, Seattle 98101. Thank you.
Franciscans, with love.
Has a horrible murder been done? Or is Jennifer Brady losing her mind? Did she find the body of her husband, Howard Lansing, seated in the living room with a knife in his chest? Or did she imagine the frightful scene? Is she married? Was there a honeymoon? Oh, here's young patrolman Ed Helmut at the front door of the brownstone house where Jennifer and her sister Maggie live. And it's the following morning.
Oh, it's you.
Yeah.
Well, won't you come in?
Thanks.
Thank you for, what you did last night.
Oh, just doing my job, Miss, Mrs., I don't know what to call you.
I don't know what to call myself. I don't know if I'm Mrs. Howard Lansing or Miss Jennifer Brady. Not after last night.
Well, suppose I just call you Jennifer. You can call me Ed. Ed Helmut.
What are you doing here?
Well, I'm off duty, see. I'm on the 4 to midnight beat, and I just thought I'd drop around and see how you were doing.
Oh, well, I'm all right.
You mind if I ask you a couple of questions, Jennifer?
No. It's your job, isn't it?
Well, yes and no, yes and no. The fact being off duty now, I'm kind of asking these questions on my own. You know what I mean?
I don't. Not really.
Well, I tell you, that car of your husband's...
If I didn't just imagine a husband.
Yeah, well, if you didn't, that car of his, that little red sports car you mentioned, well, there was a car parked out front last night, and it was a little sports car.
If it wasn't there when you left...
Well, the space it left. It rained, remember, while the car was standing at the curb?
Oh, yes.
So at least you were right about there being a car. I mean, you didn't dream that up.
It could have been anyone's car, as Maggie said.
Oh, that's for sure. Still, though, it could have been a car belonging to a guy named Howard Lansing. Couldn't it? Couldn't it?
Why are you doing this?
Come again?
Well, you know that I'm not well. That all my life I've had nervous problems. Oh, I can't believe it, but I must have dreamed it all up. Howard Lansing, marrying him, going on a honeymoon across country and back, coming home last night, finding him murdered. I must have imagined it all. Maggie says I did. Dr. Sullivan says I did. So why are you... Why are you...
You know something? I don't know. Maybe it's because...
Well, what?
I kind of like you, and, me, I didn't get much sleep either last night, thinking about this whole thing, thinking about you, and, and kind of wishing I could, straighten things out for you.
That's very sweet of you, officer. But...
Call me Ed.
Ed? It's sweet of you. But you... You're wasting your time. I'm mentally...
Oh, come on now. Come on now. Don't cry. You had a bad dream, that's all. A nightmare.
Oh, it was more than that. Much more than that. When you dream something, you wake up and you know it was a dream. I'm still living it. I remember the ceremony. The hotels we stayed at. The things we did. Even Howard... Fussing, constantly fussing with his new car.
Yeah, there's that car again. What do you mean, fussing with it?
Oh, just that he was always polishing it, checking this and that. You know, fussing, that's all.
And you remember all about the ceremony and the hotels and like that?
It's all as vivid as if it had actually happened.
Tell me about the wedding. Who married you?
Nobody married me, Ed. I imagined...
Okay. So where did you imagine you got married?
A little town in Jersey. By a justice of the peace.
What little town? What JP?
I don't know. It was night and we just pulled off the Garden State Parkway. Howard had said he knew a place, a justice of the peace.
Okay. What about hotels?
Well... I remember we stayed at the Ambassador in Chicago and the Statler in St. Louis, the Beverly in Los Angeles, and... Oh, that you, Maggie?
Yes, Jen.
Well, any calls? Well, I... Oh.
Hello, Miss Brady.
Aren't you the policeman who was here last night?
Yeah, that's right. You're wondering what I'm doing here now, huh?
Well, yes, I am.
I just dropped in to see how Jen was doing, that's all.
Jen?
Miss Brady. I was never much for being formal.
Yes, obviously. Have you been here long?
No, 10 minutes or so.
Well, I don't mean to hurry you, officer, but Jennifer and I have an appointment in 1 hour with her psychiatrist, Dr. Sullivan.
Say, would that be Dr. Martin Sullivan on Park Avenue?
No, Dr. Arnold Sullivan on East 82nd.
Oh.
You seem terribly interested in Jennifer's psychiatrist.
Me? Oh, no. I just ask a lot of questions. I trained myself.
You trained yourself?
You're going to laugh. I know you're going to laugh, but would you believe I want to be a detective someday?
Of course I believe it. Why shouldn't I?
Ask my sergeant. He thinks I'm something else wanting to be a detective. Laughs himself silly.
Well, I certainly wouldn't laugh. I think it's commendable.
You think I could make a detective?
Of course you could.
Well, say, that's a real shot in the arm. I mean, someone like you thinking that someone like me, I mean, just a cop and new on the force at that.
As I said, officer, I don't like to hurry you, but
I'm going, Miss Brady. Going right now. Nice seeing you again, Jen.
I'll show you out.
Oh, that's okay. Some detective I'd make if I couldn't find the front door. Why,
Jennifer, would you answer that, please?
Of course. Oh, my God.
Jennifer, what is it?
Help me. Oh, my God, Maggie. Ed, help me.
What?
He's there. At the front door, he's there. Howard.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is something... What's all the trouble?
You are dead. Murdered.
What?
Last night, after
Harris stabbed to death.
Last night, honey, stabbed? Maggie, what is this?
Jen's having another one of her spells, Howard, that's all.
Oh, I see.
What do you mean, you see? You see what?
Well, just... Excuse me, who are you?
My name is Ed Helmut, Officer Ed Helmut. I'm a cop.
A cop?
Howard, I'll explain later what went on here last night.
I don't understand this. I don't understand it. You're talking to Howard as if nothing had happened.
Jennifer, nothing did.
He exists. He's standing right here. He exists. And last night you acted as if you'd never heard of him, as if there was no such person as Howard Lansing.
Honey, I don't remember.
You did, you did, you did.
Jennifer, stop it. Now, stop it. Control yourself. Officer, you were leaving.
There's some questions. I'd better get the answers to
Officer,
first.
Officer, this is a private matter. It's a family affair.
Well, now, that depends on how you look at it. Are you Howard Lansing?
Of course I'm Howard Lansing. Why do you ask such a question?
Howard, Jen had one of her mental lapses last night. She imagined that you and she were married.
We were.
And that you had just come back from your honeymoon.
Oh, good Lord.
And then during this hallucination, she thought she had found you with a knife in your chest, dead.
Oh, no, poor little Jenny.
She ran screaming into the street. Luckily, I got her back into the house before she caused a disturbance, although this officer did hear the screams and came to investigate.
Well, did you call Dr. Sullivan?
Well, of course I did. He came over, but there wasn't much he could do except order some new sleeping pills. We're seeing him in his office at 11 this morning.
Just one more question, Mr. Lansing.
Yes?
Just where do you fit in here? I mean, who are you to the family, I mean?
I'm Miss Brady's fiancée, Margaret, not Jennifer.
Oh, I see.
No, I'm afraid you don't see, not all of it. Look, since we've gone this far, you might as well know the rest of it. Jennifer has always had a thing for Howard. She's not jealous that he's going to marry me and not her. Don't think that, but the whole situation has been a severe strain on her, a very severe strain.
Almost certainly that's why her hallucination last night took the form that it did, thinking she'd been married to me and all the rest of it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I'll be on my way. Hey, now, you take it easy, huh? And me, if it's okay with you, I'm going to be in touch. I'll see my way out. Hey, Mr. Lansing, you have got a little red sports car.
Well, yes, that's it, parked at the curb. Why?
Well, Jen, Miss Brady, she seemed to make a big thing out of it. On the honeymoon that didn't happen, I mean.
Big thing?
Well, what I mean, she said you were always fussing with it, polishing it and like that. Sure looks as if you do.
Well, I do. I'm a sports car buff, if you want to know.
Wish I could own a car like that, but on a cop's salary, you had it long?
Well, 2 or 3 months.
Oh. How many miles you put on?
You ask a lot of questions.
Just interested, that's all.
Close to 10,000, I think.
Well, that's a lot of miles in 3 months.
I do a lot of driving.
Your business, huh?
No, I don't work. Don't have to. Just like to drive. Short trips, but they add up.
Oh, boy. If I had a car like that, I'd go for long trips, like, cross country.
Yeah, maybe someday I will, but so far I haven't had the interest.
Yeah. Well, see ya.
Fine. Where is she?
Upstairs, changing for appointment with Sullivan.
I don't like this, Maggie.
You don't like it. You don't like it. All the stupid things walking in here when that cop was here.
I know he was here. If it comes to that, why did you let her run screaming into the street last night?
Howard, come to your senses. Was there any other way?
No, I guess there wasn't.
I'm afraid we're going to have to move faster than we planned.
Why?
That young cop's pretty nosy. Come over here to the window.
What?
Look down there.
What the hell is he doing?
He's measuring the size of your car from front to back wheels.
What's he doing that for?
I don't know. He's doing it. I don't like it. No, Howard, we won't commit Jennifer now.
Well, if we don't commit her, what will we do with her?
Kill her.
Clearly, Maggie and Howard faked his murder.
But how could they have managed it? And how will they kill Jennifer? We'll return shortly with Act Three.
I'm Hi Brown, producer of Radio Mystery Theater. And as you may imagine, I'm excited about this new adventure in modern radio, this new statement of radio's marvelous power to stir the imagination. Now, we're wondering about your reaction, about who you are and how you like what we're doing. So to encourage you to get in touch with us, we're holding a drawing for 3 weeks. 50 prizes a week, 2 AM-FM stereo phonos, 2 travel clock radios, and 46 anthologies of modern suspense. Just mail us your name and address, and you're eligible. Of course, we'd like knowing whether your glad radio drama is back, but name and address will do it. To Mystery Theater, Box 50, Radio City Station, New York, 119. That's Box 50, Radio City Station, New York, 119. Offer good everywhere, unless locally prohibited.
We wish to thank the many listeners who have called and written KIXI, complimenting us on the new CBS Mystery Theater, aired nightly on KIXI at 10:07 p.m. However, we have received many calls requesting the program be aired on KIXI-FM every night instead of Sundays only. One of the reasons cited is the problem many of our listeners have in receiving KIXI clearly over their AM radio because of various signal difficulties. In an effort to eliminate these signal problems, KIXI has applied for an increase in power to 50,000 watts. We need your help. If you can't sufficiently hear us, please write KIXI, 801 Pine Street, Seattle 98101. That's KIXI, 801 Pine Street, Seattle 98101. Thank you.
Were you as shocked as I to discover that Howard Lansing is very much alive? I can't fathom it. Can you? No more than, well, 10 minutes could have passed between the time Jennifer saw him slumped in that chair with a knife in his chest, blood all over everything, and the time Officer Helmut entered the room to find no body, no blood, nothing to indicate that a murder had taken place. It would have been impossible for Howard Lansing and Margaret Brady to restore perfect order to that room in so short a time, even to Howard's clothes and luggage no longer in the closet, a bone-dry bathtub, and the rest of it. Got me puzzled. Well, we'll soon have the answer as we rejoin Maggie and Howard.
Kill her.
There's nothing else we can do.
Well, we can do what we planned originally. Commit her.
It won't work. Not now.
Why not?
Your answer is right out there in the street. The cop was just finished measuring your car.
Now, what's he doing?
Quite obviously getting into your car.
I think I better get out there and see what he's up to.
I was just about to suggest it, Howard.
Officer, what are you doing in my car?
Oh, say, Mr. Lansing. Say, I hope you don't mind. Like I told you, I want to own a little sports car like this myself someday. And, well, I just couldn't help sitting behind the wheel. Say, I hope you don't mind.
As a matter of fact, I do mind.
Oh. Well, say, please excuse me. I just kind of flip over a car like this, that's all.
Is that why you were measuring the wheelbase?
Measuring? Oh, that.
Yes, that. I saw you from the window.
Yeah, well, now, I tell you, I want to get to be a detective someday, see? And I'm studying, like, fingerprints and stains and like that, and measuring. Now, measuring things is important, very important. You'd be surprised how important measuring things is. So I take every opportunity to measure things.
Yes, well,
like last night. Were you here last night?
No, I was not here last night.
Funny.
What's funny?
Well, last night, Jennifer, Miss Brady, she said a car, in fact, your car, was parked outside here. Only it wasn't. I mean, when we looked, no car.
Well, I just told you that.
Yeah, but there had been a car. You see, it had rained, and the car was standing out here during the rain. And left a dry space in the street. And I measured that, too. Couldn't help myself. It's become a habit, you know?
Well, I fail to see what this has to do with
anything. Identical. Same wheelbase.
that car.
And this one.
Look, there are probably thousands of sports cars in New York.
I'm not saying it was the same car. Oh, no, nothing like that. I'm only saying the wheelbase was the same.
It's very interesting, I'm sure. But if you don't mind now,
I... Just leaving when you came out. I apologize if I upset you getting in behind a wheel without permission.
That's all right.
Yeah. Well, goodbye. Oh, by the way...
Now what?
You got 11,243.9 miles on the speedometer. 1,000 or so more than you said you had. I just thought you'd like to know.
Thank you. I'm deeply grateful for that information. He is up to something, Maggie.
What else is new?
He checked the mileage on the car.
What of it?
Over 11,000 miles. I could easily have driven from here to L.A. and back, which I did.
Mileage shows only how far a car went, not where. I'm not worried about your car. Worried about him nosing around. The quicker we kill Jennifer, the better.
Now look, I didn't bargain for anything like murder.
Neither did I, but that's the way it is.
How will you do it?
How will we do it? Sleeping pills. An overdose, that's the simplest.
When?
Well, tonight. Why wait? Oh, Jennifer. Ready for our appointment with Dr. Sullivan, I see. Hmm? Yes, I'll just get my coat. Howard?
Yes, Jennifer.
I'm sorry if I... if I've caused you any trouble.
Oh, no.
I'm losing my mind, Howard. I must be. Marrying you, our honeymoon trip across country, returning last night, finding you dead. It was all so real. So real. And yet it wasn't. It never happened. Oh, Howard, I just can't go on like this much longer.
You won't, Jennifer. Believe me, you won't.
Sure of that? Did you check all marriage license applications? And there's no Howard Lansing and Jennifer Brady, huh?
How are you at Beverly Hotel, Los Angeles?
Right there. Okay, sorry I troubled you. Thanks. Hello? Yeah. Yeah, how far back did you check your guest register? And there's no Mr. and Mrs. Howard Lansing.
Hey, Ed, another one. The ambassador of Chicago. You going on a trip or something, man?
Thanks. Officer Ed Helmut here. Yeah, I think I can tell you what you're going to tell me before you tell me. No record of a Mr. and Mrs. Howard Lansing. Yeah. Well, thanks. There's got to be a clue. There's got to be...
Sleep.
How many pills did you give her?
Enough. What's the matter, Howard? Why that look on your face?
I'm a murderer. I'm just beginning to realize it. I am a murderer.
Not yet, Howard. She won't be dead for a while.
How can you be so calm? You frighten me, Maggie. I've never seen this side of you before.
You've got to be kidding. All the time we spent planning this...
To commit her, not murder her.
What's the difference? We're not doing all this for peanuts, you know. We inherited $1.5 million from my father, Jennifer, and I. You and I will have all of it once she... Who could that be?
I'll see.
Wait. No, I guess we can't pretend no one's at home. The lights are all on.
And my car's parked out front. Oh, it's you.
Okay, if I come in, Mr. Lansing?
Oh, well, now, I
Thanks. Rotten night out there. Just plain rotten.
It's Officer Helmut, Maggie.
Yes, so I see. Getting to be a regular visitor, aren't you?
To be honest with you, Miss Brady, it's a real nasty night, and walking a beat, I didn't think you'd mind if I came in for a few minutes. Also, I wanted to see how Jen's getting along.
Jen is getting along very well, if it's any concern of yours, which it is not.
Oh, well, I only...
Officer Helmut, circumstances beyond my control brought you into this house last night, but I do control whether you'll keep coming here like this. Please leave.
Oh, well, now, wait a minute, Miss Brady. I like your sister, and I have reason to think she likes me. Now, wait a second. Just wait a second. I also think she needs somebody like me, somebody to lean on, to protect her.
Further
than that, I'm here on official business.
Official business?
I'm placing you both under arrest on a charge of... Where is Jen?
That's no business of yours. What's all this about?
Where is she?
She is upstairs asleep, if you must know.
Asleep? At 8 o'clock at night?
She took a couple of sleeping pills.
Where are you going? How dare you go up there?
Maggie, my God.
Any nerve, don't lose it now.
But he'll know.
He'll know she took an overdose. That's all he will know.
He will know that we gave it to her. He's arresting us.
For what? On what charge? Whatever it is, he'll never make it stick. We've covered our tracks too well for the law to... He's carrying her down.
It's all right, baby. It's gonna be all right. Operator, this is Officer Ed Helmet. I want an ambulance sent to 127 Brockhurst, and fast.
An ambulance? Why an ambulance?
An overdose of sleeping pills.
She took a...
She didn't take them, Buster. They were given to her, shoved down her throat, you ask me. I'm changing the charge against you two. I'm booking you for attempted murder.
You must be out of your mind. You're as crazy as my sister.
Who isn't crazy at all. That was a real far-out scene you two tried to pull. I gotta hand it to you two. You planned it so careful, so good. There wasn't a loophole in it. Except one.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't, huh? Then let me explain. You set the whole thing up, the two of you. The marriage, the honeymoon trip across country and back, the fake murder and the whole bit. Oh, and you played it smart. Very smart. Not a clue. I checked the Marriage License Bureau. No license. Easy enough. You could have bribed a clerk to destroy it.
Now, look, you...
I checked a few hotels. The big ones, like the Ambassador, the Beverly in Los Angeles. No Mr. and Mrs. Howard Lansing listed. A piece of cake. When you registered, you gave a different name.
You're making yourself look like a fool. What you're saying is you could find no evidence.
Oh, but I did. One little clue that neither of you thought about. A car, Mr. Lansing. Your pretty little red sports car.
I don't follow.
You will. I told you I found that dry space out on the street last night because a car, a little sports car like yours, had been standing there during the rain.
Well, it could have been anyone's car.
Sure. Same size as yours. Same wheelbase. But I agree, it could have been anyone's. Only it wasn't. It was yours. You want to know how I know?
We'd be enthralled.
I know, because last night, that car wasn't parked outside this house, but the one next door. I got to wondering about that. I kept saying to myself, if it was his car, why did he park outside the house next door? I came up with the answer today when I entered that house. Nobody there. And found fake blood all over the upstairs room. A gag knife. The kind you attach so it looks like you're stabbed. Even your clothes and your luggage in the closet. Mr. Lansing.
Oh, God.
So you see, if it hadn't been for your car, I'd never have realized that brownstone houses in a row like these are identical. You bought this place, or leased it, while Jen and him were on their honeymoon, didn't you, Miss Brady?
I...
Last night, when Jen went screaming into the street, you deliberately let her run into the street so you could bring her back to the house next door. This house. And her stayed, wound up tight like she was. She never realized what you were doing, as you knew she wouldn't.
You'll have to prove these accusations.
I will. I can. With the one little clue that nails it all down at all four corners. The little red sports car again.
What about it?
Well, you told me you'd never driven across country.
I never have. If you're thinking of the mileage on the car, that proves nothing.
Well, not the mileage, Mr. Lansing. The servicing.
Servicing?
You had it serviced at the Beverly Hotel in Los Angeles. A lube job, oil change, new filter, the works. And like they do at all service stations, they slapped a little sticker on the door jamb. That little sticker that carries the name and address of the service station. That little sticker that practically nobody ever notices. Anyhow, you didn't. And it says, Beverly Hotel Service Station, Los Angeles, California. Date and all. Easy, Jen. Easy. You're gonna be okay. From here on in, you're gonna be just fine.
must have been a costly business, buying or leasing that identical brownstone house and furnishing it exactly like the one next door. But then, Maggie had all the money in the world, or thought she did. I'll return shortly.
Harold?
Mm-hmm.
I'm cold.
Yeah, I know, dear. Now, I'll have this fire going in just a minute.
Are you sure you know what you're doing? We haven't used that fireplace in years.
Oh, there's nothing to it. Now, I'll just strike this match. There. Should be going good in just a minute.
Harold, isn't the smoke supposed to go up the chimney?
Yeah, it is.
A fire in the fireplace is one answer to the energy crisis. But the American Red Cross reminds you to be sure that your chimney and damper are cleaned and in good working order. In addition, build the fire toward the back. Keep screens around the fireplace. Don't use kerosene, lighter fluid, or gasoline to start fires, and don't leave a roaring fire unattended. For other tips on safety, contact your local Red Cross chapter.
Yes, like a spider's web, so strong and yet so weak, the human brain can be broken. But happily, again, like the spider's web, it can be repaired as good as new. Our cast included Lois Nettleton, Tony Roberts, Terry Keane, and Norman Rose. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Now, a preview of our next tale.
Mr. Peterson, if I were you, I'd forget everything that happened tonight.
Is that a threat?
No, a warning.
That's all I've been getting around here, warnings.
Well, for your own good, take them seriously.
And if I don't?
You'll regret it for the rest of your life, which may not be a long one.
You still insist that you're not threatening me?
I'm only trying to help you.
Really? And why should you do that?
Why? I don't know why. Maybe it's because the last guy tried to help me.
What last guy?
I didn't listen to him.
The last guy? What do you mean?
Nothing. Forget it.
You know, with you and your wife, it seems, everything turns out to be nothing and forget.
I don't think it matters now. I have an idea. It's already too late for you.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
News next on KIXI Seattle. Weather outlook calls for occasional snow, probably changing to rain or mixed snow and rain tomorrow afternoon, continuing through Sunday. Highs tomorrow in the upper 30s, lower 40s on Sunday. Lows tonight in the upper 20s. Currently in downtown Seattle, a temperature of 33 degrees, the barometer falling at 29.83. It's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. Attorney General William Saxby says the taxpayer should not have to pay any legal fees for President Nixon if he is impeached. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Saxby says it would not be proper for lawyers on the government payroll to represent the president in any impeachment proceeding. He says if an impeachment does come about, an independent defense and defense fund may have to be set up. Saxby says if the case ever went to the Senate for an actual trial, the Justice Department would be out of it. Senator Howard Baker of Tennessee, a member of the Watergate Committee, indicates some important legislation on election campaigns may come out of the committee's investigation. Baker put it this way.
It would be my expectation that the committee would recommend rather extensive electoral reform measures, campaign reform measures, particularly in the field of campaign financing. and a number of other things, but I would point out that one less formal result may occur. I'm persuaded that the fact of the inquiry done in public may serve as a deterrent to such conduct in the future, at least as effectively, if not more effectively, than any legislation that we may enact.
Baker also says he expects the Watergate Committee to end its hearings next month unless some new evidence comes to light. I'll have more news after this message.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. Just write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO Box 1414, New York, New York.
Senator Henry Jackson, the chairman of the Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigation, says Energy Chief William Simon and officials of seven big oil companies will testify when the panel resumes its hearings into the energy shortage January 21st. Jackson says the panel is trying to find out if there is, in fact, a shortage of oil. About 90,000 barrels of oil were destroyed Friday when a fire started by lightning hit an oil storage facility in Port Neches, Texas. The fire destroyed six oil storage tanks belonging to the Mobil Oil Company. Nobody was seriously hurt. The Agriculture Department says the Soviet Union has agreed to delay taking delivery of 18.4 million bushels of wheat purchased from the U.S. Officials hope that will help avoid sharp increases in bread prices in the U.S. Bill Mead, the head of the American Bakers Association, says this is a good move.
We just need and think the American consumer needs the assurance that we will have enough wheat here, and even the possibility of a shortage doesn't cause temporary dramatic increase in the price of bread. And if the Russians have agreed to delay this shipment at the urging or however it came about, we think that is great. If they have been urged, I think it proves our point that there might be a possibility.
Earlier, Meade's organization drew sharp criticism for predicting bread prices could go up to a dollar a loaf because of big wheat sales to Russia. Agriculture Secretary Earl Butz says the baking industry displayed a startling lack of understanding of the situation in making that prediction. More than 110 ships were stranded Friday at the mouth of the Mississippi River because of a week-long fog bank that limited visibility in some areas to 20 feet. 52 ships are said to be anchored in the middle of the river, unable to move. About 60 others are scattered in the Gulf of Mexico, waiting their turn to enter the river. Now this.
Grandma?
Bobby, go to sleep now.
I'm cold.
Well, we'll fix that. Look, this was your daddy's blanket when he was little.
It feels good.
It should. It's wool.
From sheep?
Sure. We never had any oil burners or other fancy stuff on the farm, but we had wool. Nothing warms like wool. But don't you have a wool blanket at home?
Nope.
Know what? I'm going to buy you your own wool blanket.
Could I have a sheep too, Grandma?
Save your money.
As America enters the first winter of the energy crisis, we would like you to know that wool can make a difference in how you live during this time. For thousands of years, nothing has warmed like wool. Its unique natural structure creates tiny air pockets, which trap your body's heat and adjust to outside temperatures. And when sheep produce wool, they don't deplete natural resources and precious fuel supplies. You can keep warm and help the energy crisis by wearing wool this winter. This message brought to you by the Wool Bureau. The Skylab 3 astronauts are drawing close to setting a new space endurance record. Monday night, the astronauts will break the 59-day space record set by the second crew to inhabit the orbiting space laboratory. NASA officials are optimistic the mission will go the 84 days planned for it and set a record that may last for many years. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI, with the time of 6 minutes past 11.
The Sounds of Beautiful Music for Beautiful Puget Sound continues on KIXI.